Number 16. This passage came upon my heart last night. I came to bed and told Miss Renee that I wasn't looking forward to this sermon. America has desensitized hell. Desensitized it. Hell is still a real place. It's a bad place. You don't hear many preachers preaching on hell anymore. But hell is in the Bible. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke of hell more than He did of heaven in your Bible. Look in your concordance. Luke 16. There is a passage here. I'm going to read and say a few words and be done preaching this morning. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You can underline this in your Bible, for it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man, underline this, he also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, now, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Somebody said that repentance was not essential to salvation. My Bible instructs me, Jesus said, unless you all likewise repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a heart turning from this place, this world, from yourself and turning unto God. There must be a turn. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for this day. I want to thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that has helped my heart this morning through the songs of Zion and through the encouragement and the fellowship of God's people. Thank you for the little ones that make up this body today and, God, how they encourage this preacher's heart. Lord, I want to be careful to pray for those that is on our prayer list today. Many needs throughout this assembly. I thank you, God, that you take each case one by one. And I thank you that you are a God that will take our case this morning. Now I pray that you'd make the Word of God real to us in our hearts. Now I pray that you'd draw a sinner. God, you'd save them by your long hand of mercy. And your sweet heart of grace this morning. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach out of this passage this morning in Luke 16. On this salt, and in hell he lift up his eyes. In hell he lift up his eyes. I want to say, first of all, I wouldn't be much of a preacher to tell you. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus wrote this passage in the Bible, and we find some things here that we need to take heed to. I want to say here, this rich man didn't die and go to hell because he was rich. He died and went to hell because he rejected the truth of God. This morning, if there's ever been a day and an hour when the truth needs to be proclaimed that Jesus saved, and only Jesus saves, it is in this day and this hour. Now, let's watch in this passage as it unfolds. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Notice in verse 22, the point that disrupted his life. The point that disrupted his life. It seemed like this man, when you would pull by his house and you'd look up his drive, no doubt it looked like he was sitting on the top of the world. But today this man would change places for anybody that was living in this world. And can I tell you that there are a lot of people that everything looks to be well with, but Jesus knows our heart today. And in this passage, we'll see this point that disrupted his life. For the Bible said in verse 22, it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. So here we find that this man, his riches failed him. I wrote this down, and it is so true. Wealth, no doubt, was probably his besetting sin. Wealth, and I've noticed this in life, wealth seldom improves character, but many times only corrupts it. And so here we see this point that disrupted his life. Riches failed him. It doesn't matter what you own in this world. I've heard this phrase, the man that dies with the most toys wins. But that's heresy. That's a lie. A man that dies without God, he dies and goes to hell in his sins. We see in this passage this point that disrupted his life. His riches failed him. I want to say, secondly, his recognitions fooled him. No doubt he probably belonged to the elite of the elite. No doubt he probably had plaques and banners on his wall. He was in the in the who crowd. But they failed him the day that he met God. I'll never forget, years ago, there was a high-ranking man in our company. He died. He had a testimony that was wicked. I've noticed this. People that are saved, they live for God. That's Bible doctrine, by the way. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect, but our lives have changed. We might can do sin, but we'll no longer be happy doing sin. I can remember he had every plaque in his office that could be imagined. Belonged to every league, every club in town. But if he didn't know God, his recognition fooled him. The point that disrupted his life. This man, his riches failed him. His recognition fooled him. He had a great name in the community. He had succeeded. He was successful. But in the economy of God, he was a fool. His riches failed him. The recognition fooled him. But I want to say thirdly, his rejections followed him. He rejected Bible truth. No doubt he had heard a sermon. He knew Abraham, the father of our faith. No doubt he knew the ordinances and the practices to give himself to God, but he neglected those things. Don't neglect preaching this morning. In hell he lifted his eyes, this point that disrupted his life. By the way, in Hebrews 9 and 27 this morning, you'll notice here, which I believe it is Paul, the writer of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews had this to say in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." I have an appointment scheduled this Friday coming up at 12:30. There may be some things that come up in this life that I have to call in and cancel that appointment. But let me tell you, we all have an appointment this morning with death that we will never cancel. We all are going to die and face God. This is an appointment on a schedule that we will keep. I believe that God teaches us in the Word of God we all have boundaries where we cannot pass. God knows that time and hour. How many people met God this week that thought they would never meet Him this week? I would love to tell you that I could pastor this church till I'm 70 or 75 years old. I would love to know I've got 15 more years of preaching and the fire of God in my soul. But God may call me out this evening. I have never in all of my life enjoyed living as much as I'm living today. I love my family like I've never loved family. I love our church like I've never loved this church. I love God the way I've never loved God. I love preaching the way I've never loved preaching. But I will not escape this appointment. You all have an appointment with God. And you better get your bill took care of here. This morning, how tragic. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. We see here in this text, this point that disrupted his life, his life totally changed. Could you imagine closing your eyes to the royalties of life and opening your eyes in the pits of hell? This morning, the point that disrupted his life, but you'll notice secondly, not only the point that disrupted his life, but look at the place he daily lives. Verse 23, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." The Bible teaches us that hell is a low place. The Bible teaches us that hell is a lonely place. I've heard this through years. "Well, preacher, if I die and go to hell, I'll be with my friends." They're not playing Nintendo. They're not playing cards in hell. They're not sending texts to their friends in hell this morning. They're not paying a lawyer. They're not paying a judge off to get them out of where they are this morning. It's a low place. It's a lonely place. I seen something last night studying the Bible I've never noticed about this. And it's in one of these three statements I want you to see. I want you to look in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4 this morning. 2 Peter 2... verse number 4, Jesus says it's a dark place. 2 Peter 2 and 4. Now, this is what I want to encourage our church to do. I may preach on it in a few weeks, but in 2 Peter 2, I want you to read that chapter and look where we are in America today. But I want to glean this thought out to show you something here about this dark place. In 2 Peter 2 In verse number 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment." Hell's a dark place. You say, why is it such a dark place? Because God's not there. God is the God of light. And hell is a dark place. The Bible teaches us that hell is a destructive place. Look in Matthew 13 and 36 of the teachings of Jesus. Matthew 13. Verse number 36. It is a destructive place. Matthew 13, 36. Jesus sent the multitudes away. He said, verse 38, "The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth these angels. They shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them," watch this, "into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." I've never noticed really where the Bible instructed that it was a furnace of fire. We talk about the Hebrew children, the book of Daniel, where they're cast into that fiery furnace, and Jesus was walking around with them. Jesus delivered them. But here in this passage, we find that in hell, not only is it a dark place, it's a destructive place. It is as a furnace. I seen something years ago at Palmetto, Georgia, I'd never seen. I went into a fiberglass plant at Owens Corning. Matter of fact, they donated all of the insulation when we first built this sanctuary. Backed up a truck. Brother Rodney and his group had it all placed in this building. They donated this to our church. I went and I walked into their plant. They had this machine. They picked up glass out of the parking lot and they brought it over to this hopper. And this man said, "Ken, you need to stand back because you've never experienced what you're fixing to see." They raised a door. There was a furnace of molten fire. They would take this front end loader, they would take this bucket of glass and push in. It had big heat shields so they wouldn't just absolutely die off of the forklift. And as soon as it hit that, it disintegrated. Why would you want to die and go to a place like that? You say, "Well, preacher, I've been thinking about getting saved, but I want to say something that's a good saying that we could all take to heart to today. Don't put off today what you think you're going to do tomorrow. You might not have the chance tomorrow." So we see this man, he had a very disrupted life. We see this point that disrupted his life. Now we see this place that he daily lives. But then notice this in verse 24. Not only the place he daily lives, but look at the person he distinctively left. The person he distinctively left. The Bible said in verse 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and just send Lazarus that he may tip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Can you imagine? Here is the man that died without God. Here's the beggar that knew God. He's in the paradise side of Sheol in Abraham's bosom. And he's asked, and he said, "Would you just send that man that was begging crumbs at my table? Could he just dip the tip of his finger in water? Just one drop, would you just let it touch my tongue?" You You want to go there? Are you kidding me? I understand this world has desensitized hell. But hell's still in the Bible. We sing a song. Thank God I don't have to go to hell. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell this morning. I'm glad Jesus paid the price for all mankind on Calvary's cross. And any person comes to that cross by faith can be saved this morning. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is bad news. But I've got good news. You don't have to die and go there. In hell he lifted his eyes. The point that disrupted him. The place he daily lives. The person he distinctively left. But look in verse 24. The preaching he didn't listen to. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The preaching he didn't listen to. There was a witness at his gate. You know, it's amazing how God witnesses to people. The Bible says that God has put into us a conscience. Romans chapter number 1, I read it this morning before I got to church. Man will stand before God without an excuse. For he has the light of conscience and he can look around and he can see in the light of creation. God made all of this that we see. Man realizes there is a God. There are no true born atheists. The preaching he didn't listen to. I wonder how many people here have left a sermon and said, all right, preacher's old-fashioned. I wonder how many messages has been preached and God dealt with people's heart and they turned Him away. God loves you so much that He wants to see you be saved. God wants you to realize that you are a sinner. You were born a sinner. There's no good person in this world. It's just some that live a little better than others. There's none good. No, not one. It's what our Bible teaches us. Young people, you must be saved. Older people, the clock's going to catch you. In this passage, we see that the person he distinctively left, the preaching that he didn't listen to, the witness at his gate and the words of the gospel. That lifetime. Look in verse 25. I want to highlight this. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime. You know, in that lifetime covers a lot of things this morning. I wonder in your lifetime, you're sitting here lost. I wonder how many times God has nudged you to be saved. I wonder in your lifetime, how many times that God has run something in your life to make you aware that you are a sinner. As this passage unfolds, we see the preaching he didn't listen to. But verse 24, watch this. The pain that never leaves. The pain that doesn't leave. Verse 24, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. That word is in the present tense. It has action. For I'm tormented in this flame. Well, Brother Ken, I want to ask you something. A God that loves, how could He put me in a place like that? He don't put you in a place like that. You put your own self in this place. Your decision brings your destiny. Jesus loved you so much that He died for you. God loved you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. And He's done all He can do. It's your decision. Will you turn of your sins and live for Christ and go to heaven when you die? Or will you live for yourself and die and go to hell in your sin? The The preaching he didn't listen to. The pain that doesn't leave. Look at verse 27. This really grabs my heart. The people he dearly loved. Look at verse 27. He said, "Well, I pray you, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I've got five brethren, that he testify on them, lest they also come to this place of torment." I wish our church could have the burden that this man in hell had. You know what he said? He said, "I've got five brothers, and unless somebody reaches them, they come in here too." I wonder how many in our family will we be held responsible for because we didn't tell them that Jesus saved. And this is an amazing thing about God. Our people we love the most many times is the hardest to witness to. Lord, would you go tell them? I want to say something. He's telling you this morning. God loves you so much, He's letting you know about it. You hear me? God loves you so much, He's letting you know about it. You hear me? God loves us so much, He let us know about it. The people He dearly loved. He regretted. And he remembered. That's a bad thing about hell. Memory's not gone. Not only the people he dearly loved, but lastly, the prayer he desperately lost. Look at verse 24. He cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." You know, it was too late to say that prayer. When you die without God, you don't go to this holding place till you repent, make a decision, then God sends you to heaven. The way death finds you is the way death keeps you. Oh, preacher, you're that old-fashioned. I believe the Bible. Now I want to leave you this morning. With all of my heart, I want to leave you this. Turn with me to the book of Romans. You know, it seems like that Abraham said something that was very hard. He said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." In other words, he said, they need to listen to what God has sent them. I want to show you something in the book of Romans this morning. Romans 3, verse 20. I want Miss Sherry to come, if she would. I just want her to play this morning. I want you to see what the Bible says. Romans 3 and 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." In other words, we cannot live good enough to get to heaven. The law is perfect. Man is unperfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's holy, true, and perfect. But none of us can keep the law. "But now, in verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." In other words, he says, I've got a way for you to be saved. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ," watch this, I love it, "unto all. And upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Whether you're black or white, male or female, young or old, there is no difference. God died for you." Watch this, verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, being justified, that's a legal term in heaven. Being justified freely, watch, by His grace. Through the redemption, that word means a ransom, and been made full. By the redemption, watch, that is in not Muhammad, not in Buddha, not in a Baptist preacher, but in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation. That means to appease or satisfy. God sent forth to be a satisfaction or propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteous, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We all know John 3:16. I wonder, would it be real to your heart this morning, for God so loved the world that He gave? Aren't you glad He's a giver, not a taker? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want to be saved this morning? You say, preacher, what will people say? It don't matter what people say. This between you and God this morning. Has there ever been a time that you saw yourself in the need of a Savior and you turned by faith and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? God dealing with your heart? Well, that's a warning sign. He's letting you know that He loves you and this Bible is true. And if you would come by faith out of your heart and trust Jesus this morning, that He took your sin debt on an old rugged cross, you too can be saved today. I wonder would every...